I can't remember an issue where I have spun around like a wind vane, like the Palapala impeachment inquiry outcome and all of the fallout that's followed. I find myself being enormously influenced by whoever I'm reading or listening to. I've changed my mind so many times on what I think should happen. I enjoyed reading Quinita Hunter on News 24 when she said Ramaphosa has been quietly quitting for ages. He doesn't want the job. He's keen to get out of Dodge. He is tired of it. He hasn't been doing it properly. It's all a bit overwhelming. Why would he want to stay? Interesting thought. Peter Bruce, his column talking about it's an utter failure of common sense. And it has put immense stress on our institutions because the police have to investigate the president. SARS has to. The South African Reserve Bank has to. And it is under political pressure from some elements within the ANC. So all of those institutions have to investigate the president now because of his lack of common sense at the most flattering interpretation. And they are under stress because whatever the outcome, they're going to be criticised. And the courts are now back into political play. The Constitutional Court must be deeply tired of attempting to resolve our political issues. But this one will go all the way to them. So our institutions have been stressed by our president, as is our parliament and its impeachment processes. And then I read Duma Nkobele yesterday. Duma Nkobele in Business Day, who says, we're all saying things will be terrible without Ramaphosa. He must stay. His point is, they're terrible with Ramaphosa. He says, when I go to the township I grew up in, where my family still live, things are appalling. Service delivery is atrocious. Crime is rampant. The economy is awful. What is this desire to cling on to Ramaphosa as if he's an answer to anything? And then you think, oh, okay, that has weight. And then I read Neva Maketla, the very respected economist who writes in Business Live. And she says, we're in a moral panic, and moral panics get in the way of sense. Instead of a systematic discussion of whether these charges warrant impeachment, the report provides waves of overreach and fantasy. She says they're effectively indulging in virtue signaling and emotional, which may be pleasurable, but it is risky. If any trivial transgression can trigger impeachment, effective governance becomes impossible and popular elections meaningless. And that resonated. So she's joining me now. Neva, how are you doing? Good afternoon.
I'm fine. How are you? That was very eloquent.
Thank you. But are you a little bit the same? Are you finding yourself knocked around a bit, buffeted by different opinions?
Not so much that is that, and look, the real problem is this. We all want to know where the cash comes from and why there was so much cash there. And that I think that tends to make us overreact a bit because the explanations have been not as clear and robust as they could have been. I think now they found the actual businessman. I'm feeling a bit more comfortable that somebody was doing a tax dodge.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Rebecca Davis at Daily Maverick, has been following up on that particular individual a bit later on. But where you've read widely on this, you've looked at the findings of the panel. Your take is it is overreaction. This does not warrant resignation. Is that fair?
Yes. Look, two things. Firstly, the grounds they give are not, you know, there's a lot. To be honest, the report reads like one of those reports where, you know, some very overambitious young people wrote a very strong report and then people looked at it and said, we can't make the charges based on that evidence. So they came up with charges that just are very weak. And although they keep saying they're serious because they have to in terms of the Constitution, I don't think, you know, normally you might get a reprimand or something, but you wouldn't see that as an impeachable offense.
What about this whole notion of relativism or comparison, saying this is not state capture, or you said that about those involved in state capture, therefore you must resign? Either way you look at it, there's problems in the argument. For me, people saying, well, it's not state capture, he's not stealing from the state, it's not the same, does not mean that it isn't terribly serious.
You know, I think there's a problem which is about, you know, this, the perfect gets getting in the way of the good. So if, you know, if we're going to treat every, you know, when you look at what the charges are, firstly, you know, they may evolve. And that's why I think that they should have said, let's wait for the investigations and see what comes out about the actual money and the transaction. But the actual charges are, firstly, that he told the wrong part of the police. Instead of going to the police station and making a case, he told his protectors, who are part of the police, to fix it, to look into it and to deal with it. And then the second one is that he wasn't running the farm as a blind trust, although he said he was, effectively. And their evidence of both those of that is actually very weak. You know, and the question is, are those charges, which are the charges they bring, are those worthy? There could be other charges around the money, but they're saying they're not making those charges because they say the evidence is too weak. So they put us all in a bit of a funny position where the thing that we would all like to understand, which is, well, what was all this cash doing on the farm? Although if you know farmers, I think you kind of know what it was doing on the farm, quite possibly. But instead of that, they've got these two quite procedural problems, which I don't think amount to the level you need for impeachment. And I do think it's important. Every country that goes through impeachment goes through this. At what point do you say there is a risk that impeachment is being used to get a democratically elected leader pushed out of office by the opposition, primarily in this case, rather than actually dealing with it with an extremely serious problem that cannot be dealt with in any other way.
So the bar should be very high for a presidential impeachment.
Well, and I think that's why the Constitution says it should be a serious offense. And so really what I think they had to apply their mind to is what constitutes a serious offense. And if you look at the way the report is framed, they're kind of going with what you said earlier, which is the president has to be absolutely above reproach. The problem is, do we think we can find somebody who is that much better? And I mean, I can give you an analogy. Look at ESCOM. Everybody keeps, you know, many people are saying get rid of the raiders. They haven't told us who's going to replace him, who will do a better job. You know, and there is a risk that you keep saying, well, you're not perfect. You're not solving these extraordinarily complex problems overnight. So let's find somebody else. And you end up destabilizing, you know, all of your policies and making it actually harder to deal with things that actually will take a long time to deal with. You know, to be blunt, it took centuries to build up apartheid. You're not going to get rid of some of these issues overnight.
Well, we're also not talking about issues. We're now talking about leadership. We're now talking about party stuff. We're now talking about anything other than the fact that ESCOM is not being properly managed, service delivery, the issues that Dumont Clabelli, your peer columnist in Business Life, pointed out. Those issues are not being tackled. We're focused on who's clinging on to whom in the leadership.
And who has money in their pouch, yes. And I do think, look, but what I was trying to say is yes, and we shouldn't just close our eyes to corruption. But firstly, it's not even clear that this was corruption. This is why I think we really should have all those investigations. But secondly, there is a risk that we blame everything on corruption. And that's the point, even at ESCOM as well. What are the systemic factors that are causing these problems to persist? A lot of it is not about corruption. It's about very deeply entrenched and longstanding systems that are dysfunctional. You know, so to take an example, a lot of what goes on in municipalities is not about corruption. It's about, you know, the fact they don't have the resources to provide the services they need to provide, particularly outside of the metros, and they don't have capacity, and they're quite new institutions that they were never staffed up properly. Saying to, you know, someone like Ramaphosa, you have to fix this overnight, that doesn't help. What we should be saying is, does he have programs in place that make sense? So they've got this, what's it called, one district thing. Is that an adequate response? And if it's not, let's attack him for that.
Yeah, I couldn't
but
agree
not
more.
Act like we can just replace him with somebody and they'll suddenly make it better.
But Jonathan Janssen said today, and I think the tweet of the day, he said something along the lines of, instead of the president focusing on giving us power, he's focusing on trying to hold on to power. And I think that sort of puts it in a nutshell. What's your response to the relativity argument, to people saying this is not like state capture. This is not on the same scale. Therefore, it shouldn't be processed.
No, look, I think it should be processed. It's a question of what is the appropriate process. And to be honest, the appropriate process is to say, you know, if Parliament had called in the police and the NPA and all these other agencies and said, when are we going to get the report? You can't just delay this forever and ever. You know, and ask for even if it's confidential, some kind of insight into what's going on. That to me would make more sense than jumping straight into an impeachment process Particularly, like I said, when the charges are not actually, because of the lack of evidence, you end up with charges that, in my opinion, are just not important enough to warrant impeachment.
Never, thank you very much indeed. Do appreciate your time. Never McCatler writes regularly in Business Live and is always worth a read.